McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So it's kind of funny. I have here in studio with me, I have Mark Faulkner, who is the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare, and Casey Gartman, who is the vice president of external relations for Baptist Hospital. And if you do not recognize it, that is the theme music for the new General Hospital. It kind of cracked me up because Mark was like, what's that? And Casey's like rocking it out. I would have played the old one, but it's got the ambulance sound, the siren, and you're not really supposed to air a siren. You know, it's not a good idea generally. So anyway, Mark Faulkner, Casey Gartman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Mark, we had you on a lot during COVID. And of course, Casey, dear friend, you know, great to have you guys. So welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Andrew.
So finally, you don't own the property anymore. The old Baptist Hospital belongs to the city of Pensacola. First things first, how much relief did last Monday bring?
Well, I probably more excitement than relief.
Okay.
When we shared our plans to construct a replacement hospital, we had three components of that vision. The first, obviously, is to create and construct a world-class modern healthcare facility, which certainly we lacked at the Legacy Campus. The second commitment was to use local trades and subs and contract workers in the construction, keep the money here. And the third was some redevelopment vision for that Legacy Campus that we were vacating. And so 2 years later, we just celebrated our second anniversary of being in the new
campus. That's crazy. I can't believe it's 2 years.
Yeah, September is when we moved, as you might recall, moved that hospital in 6 hours. Into the new place, but also
easy day.
Yeah, right. You know, just another day at General Hospital. But also last week, to your point, was another key milestone of those three components, and that was the closing of the donation, where we handed over the property and the ownership of the property, the 51 acres in total, to the city of Pensacola for the redevelopment to continue on. Now, also recall that still moving forward in that is 11 acres that was already purchased by Paces Foundation to construct housing for both senior and workforce attainable housing. We took the proceeds of that sale, the $3 million for that 11 acres, and we donated it along with the land to the city, as well as an additional roughly $3 million in total of about $5.8 million. So we gave the keys. We gave the check, and the city is now the owner of that property.
All right, I'm gonna give you a radio tip. You got to be right on top of the microphone.
Gotcha.
I know you're an in-person guy. I've seen you speak in person so many times, but it's like right here. It's just a funny little thing. All right, so I wanted to have you on in part to talk about where we're at now, but also because there have been a lot of things said, and I think not all the things that have been said have been 100% accurate, and I thought it'd be an interesting chance for you guys to maybe respond to some of this. Let's just dive in. One of the allegations has been, look, you guys got all this money, massive amount of money, nearly $1 billion in bonding capacity for a hospital that was, I mean, it wasn't even $700 million. It's a $660 million hospital. Why couldn't you use some of that money to demolish the hospital yourselves at your own expense? I mean, it's your property. Mm-hmm. It's a code enforcement problem if you don't maintain it. Why does the state or the county or the city or anybody else need to fund this? Can't that money, isn't it money fungible? Can't you just use it to go to demolish the hospital?
Back in June of 2019, we made the announcement we're moving, and we proceeded to put together a plan for financing. What's it going to cost to construct a modern-day hospital? And we went in December, so 4 or 5 months later, with a plan up to over $900 million of potential bond financing to include the hospital as well as investments maybe at Gulf Breeze or at Lakeview or the Legacy Campus and investing there in other places. At the end of the day, we went to the bond market in June of 2020, 6 weeks before COVID hit, and for an issue of about $542 million. So what was going to be over $900 actually ended up being about $540 to construct the new hospital.
Okay.
That was the plan. That was always the plan. Now, when we also made that commitment that we're moving, we said we're going to leave stuff behind.
Right.
All we're going to move is the inpatient and outpatient services to I-110 and Brent Lane. And behind, we would leave our administrative offices, our behavioral health hospital, and other functions. That was the plan to keep that campus vibrant and active. Now, as that plan evolved, COVID hit. A lot of our employees went home to work from home. And we were asked, could we move everything? Well, yeah, we could consider moving everything. What do you mean? Well, move behavioral health, move the admin functions, because it would be more likely to be redeveloped if everything was vacated. So we agreed to that. And so from a $550 million construction budget jumped to $650 as we constructed additional space on the legacy camp, on the new campus, as well as a new behavioral health inpatient hospital. And so that's what changed as we shifted our plans to accommodate vacating the entirety of that campus. Why would we do that?
Can you pause for just a second, Mark? Uh-huh. So we've got Mark Faulkner here from Baptist Hospital talking about the history here and trying to help us understand some of the claims and criticisms that have been made, because facts first, clear the air. But before we get back to that, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
If you're on Highway 90 going westbound through Pace right now at Highway 90 in Chemuckla, there's been an accident and it's causing delays on Highway 90 going westbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mark Faulkner. Mark, I so rudely interrupted you. We're in the process of saying how the original plan was to have two locations, New Baptist and Old Baptist, with a lot of facilities staying at Old Baptist. Then COVID hit and you guys were asked, could you move it all? Asked by whom? Like your board of directors, city of Pensacola, county, who asked?
The county.
The county
asked.
A
member of the county, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. So county government.
Correct.
Okay. So you retooled, you decided to move the whole campus, that would facilitate redevelopment, and you were continuing. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, because the last we wanted to leave behind was a vacated, empty medical facility. We already have enough of those around in
right.
town.
Right, North Palafox.
Yes. So we looked, for example, in Birmingham, Alabama, Caraway Methodist Hospital closed its doors 20 years ago. It became blight, it became crime, it became a problem. Ultimately, the city of Birmingham purchased that. It's now being redeveloped as we speak, but we didn't want that to happen. We could have left it boarded up. We could have left a fence up and said, it's not our problem. We'll deal with.
You'll pay the code enforcement fines
absolutely.
Or whatever.
But we wanted to do better because we're of this community and for this community. And we made a choice. And that choice was to participate actively in creating a redevelopment vision. We paid about $2 million to craft a vision of what this could become. And we learned it could be housing, an anchor site perhaps, education, retail, on and on. But we don't do development. We do healthcare.
Right.
But we wanted to get this strategy and vision to a place to hand it off to a developer or somebody who could do that. And the city was the natural partner because they have access to grants and appropriations that we as a not-for-profit would never have access to. And so that was the plan. And fortunately, we have a mayor and we have a city council that has vision that accepted this donation and is now embracing that with the potential of the redevelopment now underway.
So it wound up making sense to do. I understand the change of heart, and that also included the why you didn't leave medical facilities behind, because the idea was this needs to be, we need to get out so that it can be redeveloped. And that might include some medical facilities, but it's not really possible to sort of keep what was there and also build what's supposed to be new, right?
We've never said we're not going to make sure there's health care provided on that campus. And I think that's one of the misstatements and misunderstanding that's been brought forward. No, we're still committed to that. Now, incidentally, just down the road is Community Health Northwest Florida on Palafox Street, 1,600 yards from that legacy campus. And so we know that it's important to have accessible primary care, urgent care on or near that facility. And Community Health does an amazing job in our community in multiple locations, including that location in Jackson Street as well. But we're still evaluating that. In fact, in addition to donating the land we had promised, we've added three additional buildings donated to the city for the intention of one of those being converted for healthcare delivery.
Right.
So that commitment has not been tossed by the wayside. We still are focused on making sure that immediacy of 32501 has access to healthcare.
Kind of going back to the original question I asked, and I think a question a lot of people have is, it's your building. Why should the public, through tax dollars of any sort, whether it's grants from the state or the county or the city, why shouldn't you guys just pay for the demolishment? I mean, it was your property. Why shouldn't that come out of your fund. I mean, you've got these hundreds of millions of dollars sloshing around. You're obviously a super wealthy company, you know.
Right.
That's tough. But I mean, this is the perception people have. So when people ask that question, you know, how do you respond?
Well, that's not something that I didn't consider, and our board as well. Could we have paid for the demolition, take the lowest bidder, mm-hmm. demolished everything, sold it for the highest bidder as a greenfield site, and made money?
Because you would still own it,
yeah,
right?
We still own it. We tear down the buildings, we sell it to the developer, and it would become whatever that developer chose for it to become, mm-hmm. which may not be what the community would want. And so we wanted to protect what the community said would be important, and that is, right now, attainable housing. Could it be 51 acres of high development? Potentially, right off of North Hill. And so that was something that we considered all the way through this process. We could just keep owning it. We could just tear it down. We could just sell it to the highest bidder and let it be redeveloped.
So the theory was that if we partner with these other folks doing something that's going to be of interest and benefit to all of them, then it makes sense for them to shoulder some of the burden.
Yes, Andrew, what we learned through this process really is that with the property in the hands of a governmental entity, mm-hmm. they have access to so many more grants and funding sources than us as a private company would. So when we approached the state of Florida to help the city with this demolition, and Senator Broxson, we are so grateful to him for helping secure $7 million through the Florida legislature for this, and then again putting in our own almost $6 million, left a little bit of a shortfall. But you have to remember through all of this, Andrew, also, we are a not-for-profit organization who last year alone provided $61 million in charity care to our community through uncompensated care, where we care for the uninsured, and Medicaid shortfalls, the difference between what Medicaid pays us to care for these patients and then what we have to shoulder on that remaining cost.
You say $61
million? $61 million in fiscal year 2024.
So uncompensated care greater than the total revenues of the EMS system in Escambia County.
Yes.
Right. $58 million. I mean,
yes.
You know.
And these are actual costs. These aren't charges. Right. These are actual costs of providing care. But it's part of our commitment as a local 501c3 not-for-profit. We're here to meet the needs of the entirety of the community.
Those were the big questions I think people had. I'm not sure that some of the other things matter as much, but since we're kind of running short on time, we're talking to Mark Faulkner from Baptist Hospital and Casey Gartman. I just wanted to ask two things. One is, 2 years in, how is the new campus doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll speak on behalf of our team members who were just thrilled to be in this new campus, modern. Not only is it modern bricks and mortar, very warm and healing environment, but the technology, 90% of everything that's in there is brand new, mm-hmm. In terms of the technology, but our patients as well. We're in the top 15% nationally in patient satisfaction right now. Our turnover and vacancy rates are back to pre-pandemic levels. We're a 4-star facility as CMS ranked. So by all indicators, beyond just my own opinion, things are going extremely well. We continue to grow. We've added over 230 new jobs, net new jobs, to the organization since we moved. 230, paying well over $65,000 in salary. That's a significant economic impact.
Right.
We didn't ask for economic development dollars. We don't ask for subsidies. We just do it and do the right thing as an organization for the community.
And then you still have plans to build that next facility in the second tree grove over on the west side of the new campus. Is that right?
Well, the Henderson building is built.
Oh, it's built. Okay.
I
drive by it all the time. I should know, but I'm,
well,
you know.
It is, but right now there's construction going in the top two floors. We're constructing a two-floor inpatient rehab hospital,
okay,
in partnership with PAM Health. It's a joint venture, and so those top two floors will be occupied, and once that's done, the entire campus will be full. We'll be needing to expand in other ways in the future.
And Casey, I know you and I were talking a little bit before. We've been having this conversation all day about EMS, the billing, working with,
yes,
ambulances. We've only got about a minute, but you've been working with the county, with Director Watts from EMS, on solving the problem of billing, good patients, not abusing the system, just kind of all of that.
Yes, and we've been having, as Chief Watts alluded to at the meeting, direct conversations with him and his team about how we could partner together to help reduce some of this bad debt that the county is incurring,
yeah,
from what we at times call frequent flyers, those that call on 911 services more than necessary. And so what ways could we as a community be creative about how to try to solve those problems? One, for our patients, so that we are reducing readmission rates when they have chronic conditions such as COPD, CHF, and care for them where they need it at home, rather than them calling 911 and coming back to the hospital. That then also helps Escambia County EMS so that they can focus on what are true emergent needs in our community and be there when actual traumas happen.
And the general principle that if we're not wasting resources, that's good for the county service, that's good for the Baptist
it's good
services,
for
that's
all
good for
of
everybody,
us.
Right?
And so we are open to conversations with the county again about how we can collectively approach this and focus on this challenge.
Very good. Well, we are totally out of time, but Mark Faulkner, the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare, Casey Garment, the external relations vice president. I'm amazed at how much you guys helped us navigate our way through COVID and talk about all the issues there. So I appreciate that longstanding relationship. And for you guys coming in today to kind of talk about some of these things, answer these questions for the community. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate you.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. You've got an accident on Highway 90 right around Chemulkla. It's causing backups. Highway 90 westbound. Also, Highway 90 going southbound into Pensacola, we're seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're seeing your normal construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior? The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about, and then impact our emotions, and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Landrum Annual 5K Run Walk is Saturday morning, starting at the downtown Landrum offices. Everyone is encouraged to get out and get moving. Proceeds benefit Lakeview Center. The Taste of the Beach Food Festival is Saturday from 10 till 4. Come out for the flavors, the fun, and new features showcasing the best chefs and restaurants on the beach. Find out more at PensacolaBeachChamber.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Stream us online at NewsRadio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Go, go, Gadget, go! Wowzers!
I know it now.
Oh, you're serenading me.
It's such a good song, though, really. 729 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines and maybe some singing.
No singing, for sure.
Can hope.
The U.S. Supreme Court is letting a lower court order stand that requires Google to make changes to the Play Store. The justices declined to block the order, so starting July of next year, Google will have to make its app catalog available to competitors. The ruling would also allow developers to include external links in their app listings, enabling users to purchase directly from the developers without incurring fees from Google. Federal government's now been shut down for a week. Essential federal workers continue showing up for work, but aren't being paid until the shutdown is over. That includes 1.3 million active duty troops that'll miss their first paycheck on the 15th. And you know what season it is, Andrew?
I do tell.
Well, it's pumpkin spice season,
no,
but it's
dang
also
it. I knew you were going to mention that. But it's also what?
It's also hockey season. The NHL regular season starting today. Defending Stanley.
They still play hockey?
They do?
Apparently.
Okay.
Defending Stanley Cup champions, the Panthers, raising their second straight banner before hosting the Blackhawks in the season.
Doesn't Florida have, like, I don't know, I follow hockey so little. Don't we have, like, a majority of the last decade's worth of titles or some weird stat like that?
Yes.
It's, which is amazing for, you know, it's Florida.
Best
we don't really
ice.
Grow ice here.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Day 7 of the partial government shutdown. Washington State Republican Congressman Michael Baumgartner earlier on Morning Show Marie on Fox Business.
The Democrats have moved into full tantrum phase, and, you know, the theatrics continue.
The Senate Democrats turned down a pair of plans that would have reopened the government. Majority Leader John Thune expected to force another vote on funding the government today. Some air traffic controllers working without pay have been calling out sick, leading to hundreds of flight delays so far this morning. Israel remembers October 7th, 2023. The music from Memorial in Kfar Aza, the tiny kibbutz, about 2 miles from Gaza, where at least 62 people were killed and 19 were taken hostage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 73 degrees. It is mostly cloudy right now in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, the ongoing government shutdown continues one week in now. Local organizations say they're mobilizing to make sure community members are all fed.
I do not believe that we don't have enough to go around. As long as we all work together. Yeah. There is so much food that comes in on pallets and in trucks that we weren't even expecting. And we're able to share that with everybody. And I think we can weather this storm if we all work together.
And that is Reverend Ashley Mosley Brown, who is the executive director of Bright Bridge Ministries. They're serving hot meals Monday through Friday to people in need. The nonprofit says they're ready to ensure nobody goes hungry, also feeding the Gulf Coast, preparing for a surge in demand as federal workers will be missing their paychecks here very shortly. An elderly woman was rescued in Shalimar after her husband reported her missing. This was after the woman took a late-night walk with their son's dog, Eeyore. The husband said he got concerned when she didn't come back after more than an hour and called 911. Deputies say they began searching the area. Eventually, they found the dog. The dog led them straight to the woman who had fallen and gotten injured during that walk. The woman said she fell and the dog stayed with her, but did leave a few times, then come back, eventually bringing the deputy to help. Well, a teenager from Robertsdale was arrested Monday in Gulf Shores for allegedly being involved in multiple vehicle break-ins and driving a stolen truck. Police say they came across that truck after responding to a suspicious vehicle call. The truck was confirmed stolen out of Robertsdale. Witnesses said they reported seeing a male suspect flee the scene and attempt to get into another vehicle as well. Police there established a perimeter. They deployed a canine unit. Officers say they located the teen, and he now faces multiple felony charges, including possession of stolen property and unlawful breaking and entering of a motor vehicle. The Pensacola State College Board of Trustees will be voting on proposed fee changes next month. The board will be meeting November 8th. If approved, the new fees would take effect for spring of 2026. Notable increases include the EMT clinical internship lab fee going from $177 to $237, the paramedic field clinical internship fee jumping from $10 to $115, and new fees also being established for aviation maintenance courses with amounts ranging from $50 to $150. Well, it is free college application week in Alabama during the period that runs through October 10th. High school seniors in Alabama can submit applications to multiple colleges and universities without having to pay their usual fees. Records show more than 26,000 students applied for admission last year during this campaign. Santa Rosa County residents can safely dispose of hazardous materials this weekend.
Santa Rosa County has scheduled a household hazardous waste amnesty day. Happens this Saturday from 8 to noon at the Gulf Breeze Community Center on Shoreline Drive. The event is free of charge and gives residents the opportunity to properly dispose of potentially hazardous materials. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident that happened in Pace on Highway 90 westbound as you approach Chemukla Highway. Seeing some backups. That's about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound into Pensacola experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 7:35, and now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Wednesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. For Thursday, rain chances dropping, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 86. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now we've got 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Trump administration said that funds from a U.S. government program that subsidizes commercial air service to rural airports is set to expire as soon as Sunday because of an ongoing partial government shutdown. The department is in the process of notifying carriers of the shortfall. Tesla is expected to unveil a more affordable version of its best-selling Model Y SUV as the electric vehicle maker seeks to reverse falling sales and waning market share amid rising global competition. Tesla posted two clips on X over the weekend, igniting excitement among Tesla fans. The White House has backed off President Trump's assertion that government employees were already being laid off due to the shutdown, but warned job losses could result as the standoff looked to stretch into a seventh day. The Republican-led Senate, for a fifth time, rejected dueling measures to fund federal agencies. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 63. That's Your Money Now.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Me
because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, and we got all in studio hour this hour. We had, you know, Mark Faulkner and Casey Gartman from Baptist. Now in studio, we got Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Oh, turn his mic on. There we go. What?
A little upgrade there from Mark. Okay, no?
Yeah, everybody's trying to, you know. Oh, I see what you said. All right. Well, he's in the car listening. You know, he'll hear
he's
you.
He's not here. He's already gone.
He already left. He said hi to you. All right. So overnight, we had a couple of incidents. One was a burglary on 69th Avenue. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, no one likes a thief, right? So when we catch these guys, I want to make sure that people know so everyone can kind of enjoy the happiness that I have. But overnight,
don't even have to send them to Wheel of Fugitives or nothing. Just catch them on the scene.
We catch them on the scene, right? Yeah. If they don't show up for court, though, we'll put them on that
Wheel of Fugitives, right? Wheel.
Anyways, North 69th Avenue, we got a call that a couple people were trying to break into cars. We obtained some video evidence, right? We got some video of these two people, broadcast the description of those two people. The homeowner actually followed them or chased them, but lost sight of them. So they're in the area somewhere. When we get there, we had enough units that made what we call a perimeter. And then we had a canine in there, Deputy Wiggins and his canine partner Ellis. While on the perimeter, Deputy Bishop observed two people that fit that description, tried to detain them, and they did what thieves do. They ran. One of them was caught right away based on a foot pursuit by Deputy Bishop. And the other took our canine, Ellis, continued to track, and from there they were able to locate the second suspect. And so both of these individuals were arrested and charged accordingly. So that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good work. That's good determined work. And I just want people to – I don't want people to think, oh, that happens all the time. You know, it doesn't happen – by accident. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of good work. It's a lot of coordination. And obviously, it helps when someone calls us to say, there's a burglar in the area.
As an old football coach, how would you grade that first tackle?
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So I guess what I'll do, I'll walk in and I'll take a look at our body camera, see what we got there. But I'm sure that the canines are good tacklers.
Yeah, they are. Those canine and the human, both, right? They'll take care of it.
They do a good job.
You also had an incident, at a Circle K at Kenmore and 29, aggravated assault.
Yeah,
guys, last night again.
After doing good work last night, Circle K 29 in Kenmore, we received several calls about a male, gave a description, gray tank top and black shorts. He was waving a pistol around, or what they call a firearm around, same thing, I guess. Upon our arrival, we noticed a guy named Trevor Clark match a description across the street. We were able to detain him, found a Smith & Wesson M&P in his front pocket, listed as stolen. So walking around with stolen gun, waving it around at people, and that'll get you put in the clinic.
Yeah, that'll get you apprehended.
Yeah, so he was improper exhibition and also grand theft for stealing the weapon as well.
You had a story, it was on your Facebook page, of Terrell Lee Grice, who was driving a silver Kia. You all recognize he had an outstanding warrant, and then things ensued.
Yeah, well, prior to that, a couple of days ago, we did some search warrants up on a hotel off of 29, and this was one of the people we were looking for.
Okay.
And he was able to get out of our perimeter before we got there. But then our deputies, knowing who we're looking for, they see the car, fit the description, they recognize the guy that's in the car. We try to chase him. We don't get to pit him, but he runs into a tree on his own. Thank you.
Self-pitted?
Yeah, he gets out, runs around, and our guys, again, are out there on him. We set up a perimeter. Ultimately, after probably 20 minutes or so, we see him on a roof of a business, and we yell for him. And he, again, as bad guys do, jumps down and then takes off. And ultimately, again, as you mentioned before, a tackle takes place, and we end up arresting him. He had also left in the car a bunch of methamphetamine, a bunch of looks like cocaine. He had some fentanyl on him, some marijuana on him. And obviously, he was charged also with failure to obey a law enforcement officer and obstruction of without violence. So I guess running is not with violence. But anyways, guys did a good job. K-9 was also involved in that one. Guy ran from us, tried to hide on the roof. We weren't giving up. Ended up catching this this other bad guy. So
your deputies stay active.
We're doing some good stuff out there. Let me tell you.
We had I don't know why I forgot to talk about these with you last week, but there were a couple of stories involving, one was a high school coach, one was a school bus driver in Escambia. What happened with the school bus driver? It was something lurid with the kids' comments.
It wasn't a driver. It was an aide. Or a
oh, okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying.
And they have a bunch of videos on, fortunately, they have cameras on the buses.
Yeah.
As I understand it, there was some complaints about some of the comments that he was making to some of the students. And lo and behold, you look at the video and you can hear some of these inappropriate comments. And, you know, don't do that. These are kids.
Yeah.
And so he was charged with that. But it wasn't a
driver.
About it was a driver.
Okay.
It was actually a bus aide, I guess they call them.
You know, on that note, just your sense, I know you may not have the data for me, but with the enhancements in the not passing the school bus and the cameras being put on the school bus stop sign arms, whatever, have you noticed that problem get any better? Because it's amazing the things you see with people driving past stop school buses, well,
we
even on the right hand side.
We don't have the cameras on the bus stop arms.
I thought they did have it in Escambia County.
It was a conversation, but
I'm
not aware of it being. Those cameras require a law enforcement agency to look to review, just like the
red light cameras.
Okay. And we're not doing that. So, if they have cameras on the arms, that may be just for their own surveillance. That's not something that we would write citations for.
So that problem is still the problem it's always been. People passing school buses.
I think it is. I see people post sometimes that they were stopped, that this car went right by it, and so we talk about that a lot with regards to our traffic unit and having someone. Ultimately, we talked about having someone just following a bus and you know,
just in an unmarked car.
An unmarked car and then going ahead and stopping those cars because it could be very dangerous.
We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. We'll be back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident on the big board right now. We're seeing Highway 90 and Chemukla going westbound. Traffic is still backing up on Highway 90 westbound. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola experienced about a 12 to 15 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You guys originated an investigation related to a spice trafficking sting. I think that involved a high school coach locally. I think it wound up being an FDLE case ultimately.
Right. Yeah, we're part of a couple of task forces. That's where ultimately that came from. But the arrest originally was several months prior to that. We ended up arresting a guy with a lot of spice, seized some property, seized some vehicles from them. And then as part of the follow-up, there was a lot of spice that was recovered over in Santa Rosa County.
Spice is illegal?
Spice is illegal, yeah.
Okay,
stuff
all
they
right.
Put on
I'm not really in this environment a lot, so, yeah. You know, I see
the
stories
chemicals
about...
chemicals and stuff they use in spice.
Well, some stuff, there's always new stuff seems like coming out, and you can buy it at the convenience store until they make it illegal, and then so...
Yeah, the Attorney General's office can, as I understand it, they have some statutes that said this crime, this drug, this chemical makeup, and its analog type of thing. So they're allowed to expand upon that. So the spice is illegal, is the bottom line. And a lot of it was seized over in Santa Rosa County. And then based upon that follow-up, they ended up getting a lot more people. And I think one of them was a coach.
Highway 97, I think I saw the story on northofscambia.com. You were doing some enhanced speed enforcement up there. Not that anybody in Escambia County speeds. I mean, obviously, everybody's very law-abiding, all the drivers.
There's a restaurant up there, the Rustic Rooster, I believe it was. We did a coffee with a cop up there. And during that coffee with a cop, someone said, I had a lot of speeding going on this roadway. So they talked to our traffic unit, who happened to be up there having breakfast with us.
Yeah.
And they said, you know what, we got some time this afternoon. So let's do some radar unit, radar enforcement up there. So they did that. They didn't get very much, to be honest with you. But they were out there, and then we got the comments, well, you should do it in the morning. You should do it in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. You didn't pick the right time.
Yeah, but that's what we always get. And there's, I'm not saying there's no truth to that. There obviously sometimes they speed more getting to work, and then sometimes they speed, obviously, midnight or 12, 1 o'clock. We had the same issues on the west side, so we have to pick and choose. That's why we use those speed cameras to kind of give us an idea
where the problem
when
is,
the best time to be there. So that's our next step, is to put that speed trailer out there to ascertain when the best time is to conduct our radar units.
I wanted to ask you about a study I was reading about yesterday, a shocking study that indicated, and this is a very limited scope, it was a one-county study in Ohio, but over 6 years, they studied about, I think it was like 240 traffic fatalities, and 42% of them involved people who were high on marijuana, a THC anyway, and their blood content was ridiculous. It was like 30 nanograms per milliliter, which like in some states the limit is 0, some states the limit is 2, some states the limit is 5. They had 32, so it was 30. It was way high. And I just was curious. I know you guys don't work a lot of traffic stuff because mostly FHP does that, but does that source of impairment and that commonality of fatalities, does that comport with what you see around here and what you know from talking to your partner law enforcement agencies?
That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't. I'm not sure about the marijuana, the THC part.
Okay.
But I think that, you remember, at the Pensacola Police Department, we worked traffic crashes and we worked fatalities.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we'd get that those results from the medical examiner's office. So, you're right. I cannot give you the exact number of what it was, but it does not surprise me. In fact, I would have probably guessed over 50% involved in impaired drivers. I would say about half or more impairment, and then half or more just reckless or careless driving.
It strikes me, I kind of talked about this earlier, but it strikes me that, you know, back in the day, people drove drunk and then mad and all the national campaigns. And even though people still drive drunk, the social stigma, the perception, the report drunk drivers, all of that kind of stuff has changed dramatically. It seems like that same level of stigma, opposition, judgment, whatever around driving high has to kind of catch up. There seems like there's a lot more people using THC-related products than there is, like, the social opposition to driving while impaired. I don't know. It seems like we're kind of where we used to be, and we need to get that fixed. I mean, am I on the right track thinking about this?
Well, I think, you know, we're not just talking about marijuana, obviously.
Right.
We're talking about a number of different drugs.
And you can buy it in the seltzers or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy.
I recall a couple of years ago, I was behind a car, and the car just slowly drifted through a red light right in front of me. So I still have police lights, right? So I put my blue lights on, and this guy just hits a pole at about 8 miles an hour, and he had just completely out of it, with fentanyl. So we had to call rescue and bring him back with Narcan.
That's amazing.
So my point is, there are people that not just with, you know, just to your point, not just alcohol, but not just marijuana, but they're mixing these drugs, and they're still driving, they're still impaired. So. Will it all catch up? I hope so. We do our best to talk about the dangers of fentanyl and the dangers of mixing all these drugs. It's almost like we have gotten past we just got past alcohol. But because a lot of times we stop a car, and impairment's impairment, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what it is, but we stop a car and we
because there's not a limit
alcohol.
In Florida, right? There's no definition of THC content.
We can't have any when you're driving. So, but there's that. But there's no limit. There's no numerical limit. As you pointed out with that state, not that I'm aware of. That's part of that. Remember that thing where should we make marijuana legal or not? And then the no's were because you can't tell the threshold and what they're drinking.
Got it.
Because you can tell marijuana. You even may have marijuana in your system from days past.
Right.
And what level do you have in your system? That was some of the concerns that they had.
One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, on your Facebook page, you guys graduated a bunch of deputies, and you've added positions too, right?
Yeah, as part of our 3-year deal on October 1st, we added 8 more deputy positions, and we'll add 8 more the following October 1. And the following October 1. So we're really making a lot of headway with regards to where I think we should be.
For context, you have how many on the road deputies
now
right now?
We have sworn, 449 sworn deputies.
Okay, and so we're adding over the course of the next 3 years, 5% basically.
Yeah. Well, that's counting the 8. So we had 441,
okay.
Now we're
but still in that vicinity, about 5% total.
And
over
we've
the
already
next...
added about 20 or so in the last couple of years. So
okay.
we're as healthy an agency as we've ever been. And I say a lot, and I say it to the cadets and the recruits that we have, we're as capable of as we've ever been. Now it's up to us to continue to answer the calls and to quickly do this and to quickly do that. So we're merging that technology and manpower. As you know, I talk a lot about the technology part, and now I'm beginning to talk even more so about the manpower part. Because, again, Escambia County is growing. They're building neighborhoods and subdivisions everywhere. Our calls for service still near about 300,000 calls for service. And I want to make sure that we have the uniform presence, we have to catch the car burglars when get there quick enough, to catch the people that are waving guns around and pit the cars that need to be pitted.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
And, you know, response time is a part of how you evaluate whether you have enough deputies, just staffing per capita, but that can depend on how much crime there is in an area, right? A low crime area doesn't need as many per capita and so forth. But, you're comfortable with these numbers? You feel like you have enough? I mean, I know you'd always take more, but, you know.
I think our numbers should be around 500, but we're making a lot of progress towards getting that way.
You're fully staffed within that?
Yeah.
You can have as many as you need.
Well, we lost 2 through attrition just the last couple of weeks,
okay.
which is what happens when you start your job in law enforcement. You realize, you know, this isn't what I saw on TV, or, you know, maybe I want to do something else. Nothing, make that decision early, please,
right.
So we don't waste a lot of time. Because it's not for everyone. Law enforcement is not for everyone. So But we were, when we started our training class about 2 weeks ago, we were at zero vacancies, and we probably have two now. So the beauty of having our own police academy is that the next class, we evaluate how many do we need. If we have 10 openings, we'll hire 10. We may hire 12, overfill, and because we know we will lose one or two through attrition. But this past one you're talking about, we had a class of 16.
That's a lot.
That's a pretty good sized class for us.
New deputies, sworn deputies.
Yeah. In fact, if you go on our social media platform, you'll see them all raising their right hand. The beauty of having our own academy is that they graduate, and I swear them in at the same moment. They get pinned by a loved one or someone that they choose to pin the badge on them. So we have this ceremony where they get pinned, they get sworn in, and then the very next day they're starting that next phase of their career. So in the past, if we didn't have our academy, they would graduate, and then we would swear them in at a later time. But because we have our own, again, one of the beauties of that, this picture, look at the picture. There's a picture of all of us standing up there on the stage, and I have to say thank you to Marcus Point, because we had probably 250 people there watching, family and friends, and then we had all them on the stage. It was a great moment for them. I remember when I was sworn in. And it's obviously a great moment for the Sheriff's Office and the citizens of Escambia County. We continue to get better and better.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. You'll take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. Just got a tip about a stalled vehicle on the ramp from Pine Forest Road to I-10 eastbound. So just be aware of that. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And let's see here. If you're on Highway 90 westbound, right around Chemuklo, still dealing with that earlier accident. It's got traffic backed up for a ways. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You are invited to come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and sit back and relax and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown. They're going to be delivering a crowd-pleasing blend of classic rock, blues, and everything in between. It'll be something for everyone to enjoy. So bring your friends and feel the breeze and sing along at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck?
He's only mostly dead. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning, Andrew. Well, in Colorado, leaders pushing to keep the Space Command there after President Trump's decision to relocate it to Huntsville, Alabama.
Part of the reason Alabama ended up with the decision that they did is that they had a U.S. senator who basically put a hold on every nomination going through the United States Senate. That's certainly something that one of our senators could do.
And that's Republican Congressman Jeff Crank. And he says that he and other lawmakers are looking at options to potentially delay or even reverse that move. Israelis remembering 2 years since the devastating 2023 Hamas attacks. The attackers killed around 1,200 people, took 250 hostages. And Sean Diddy Combs wants to serve his prison sentence in New Jersey. He wants to serve it at Fort Dix, a low-security lockup with 4,000 inmates.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Vote for Blue Wind Technologies for Best Invention Made in Florida. Go to our Facebook page. Find more details. Local.